Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're looking at Hanafuda, Japanese flower cards. And they're more than just playing cards, right? They really capture this idea of Kachu Fugetsu.
Exactly. That appreciation for nature flowers, birds, the moon. It's deep.
So our mission today for you is sort of unpack how these cards went from being this poetic thing to, well, a global brand and even art collectibles.
And the backstory involves a bit of irony with Nintendo.
Right, the gaming giant.
Yeah. Their start, way back in 1889, was making these Hanafuda cards. And it was actually because of government rules.
Oh.
Strict gambling bans, and then this 1902 tax, the Kupaseo. It kind of forced the industry to standardize, and, well, Nintendo was positioned perfectly to grow out of that.
Okay, so let's get into the aesthetics. The original cards are packed with symbolism. Like January pine and crane.
Longevity.
Classic symbols, yeah. Very detailed, very traditional.
But then commercial pressures hit. How did that change things visually? Well, that's where you see this split. It's quite fascinating. In Japan, they mostly tried to keep that traditional look.
Okay.
But in Korea, where the cards became known as Watu, it was different. Sources call it radical localization.
Radical localization. What does that mean in practice?
It means simplification, big time, to make them cheaper and faster to produce. Designs got streamlined.
Like how? Any examples?
Sure. Those purple ribbons you often see, they frequently became blue, likely cheaper ink. And there's a bird image. Its posture was changed, making it look like it's flying, well, backwards compared to the Japanese original.
Wow. So efficiency basically created a whole new look?
Pretty much. Man. A new commercial standard almost overnight.
So Watu simplifies for the mass market.
Mm-hmm.
But then back to Nintendo, the company that kind of stuck with tradition, they're now using that complex history as, like, a premium marketing angle, aren't they? How does that even work, bridging 130-odd years?
That's the fascinating part now. They lean heavily on their 1889 Hanafuda origins for brand identity. It's heritage marketing.
And the prime example has to be the Mario Hanafuda deck, right?
Absolutely. For the Super Mario Bros. 35th anniversary, it's this perfect fusion, deep Japanese tradition meets a global pop culture icon.
Doesn't that dilute the original meaning, though, sticking Mario on these symbolic images?
That's the tension, definitely. But it also changes the purpose of the cards. They become collectibles.
Which ties into other collaborations, too, right? Like the Attack on Titan Hanafuda. People aren't really buying those to play Koi Koi.
Exactly. They're buying them as art pieces. The sources mention people seeing them as koi, works of art, not just game tools.
So this whole journey highlights a cultural paradox.
It really does. The original value was tied to understanding the poetry, the symbols, maybe through sophisticated games like Hanaway's.
But then commercialization, especially you mentioned the gambling side in Korea with Hotukuk.
Right. That shifted the perception. Made it seem a bit more utilitarian, maybe even tied to vice for some.
And now it feels like it's swinging back the other way.
Precisely. The modern twist is that by positioning these cards as art, you know, showing up in museums like the Tokyo Museum of Modern Art or inspiring fancy ceramics, the commercial aspect is actually restoring some of that original aesthetic appreciation.
It's moving the value away from just being a game piece.
And back towards being a valued object of beauty. It's quite a turnaround.
So the key takeaway for you listening is seeing how Hanafuda and Watu shifted. It's a real case study in branding and design, moving from a functional game item to something valued for its look and collectability.
And that commercial success means the aesthetic is everywhere now. T-shirts, towels, you name it. It's very accessible.
Which leaves us with a final thought for you to consider.
Yeah. Is the cultural value of something like Hanafuda better preserved when it becomes this highly commercialized art object?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it better kept alive when it's just played, used daily, maybe even in those slightly less reputable settings?
Right.
Which path truly keeps the tradition meaningful? Something to think about.